Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead. I'm your Bible teacher and pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church. And we are glad that you could join us again for this grand, grand study of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we've gotten through in our study over the last year the Great Tribulation, and we've looked at a variety of terrible things that are going to happen during this massive worldwide war. And now we have entered the period of the millennial kingdom, where the earth, as we know it, is going to be completely renovated. Jesus will be on the throne in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be the highest mountain in the world. After all these convulsions that are going to be taking place there during the Great Tribulation, there's going to be a restructuring of the entire world. Now, it's not the New Jerusalem that we will be talking about later near the end of our study, but this is a renovation, not a replacement. Now, I want to talk to you today about some of the additional characteristics of millennial Jerusalem that we've seen in other passages, such as Ezekiel. But they're found in a variety of passages, so we have one author complementing another in the Scripture to give us a much better understanding of the entire corpus, if you will, of the body of knowledge about the millennial kingdom. Now, the city of Jerusalem is going to rejoice because of God's judgment. Get that from Psalm 48:11. The city will rejoice. In other words, the people in Jerusalem are going to be glad and really content and rejoicing because there will be a government on this world that will be run by the Lord Jesus. God Himself, God incarnate, is going to be running the world as a theocracy for 1,000 years. Now, Jerusalem, therefore, is going to be known as the city of God. We see that in Psalm 87, verses 1 to 7. Peace is going to be characterized in the millennial kingdom because of the reestablishment of David's throne from the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel. Now, we see this in Psalm 122, verses 1 to 9. Now, the rebuilding of Jerusalem after the Great Tribulation is going to be by God, and it's going to be characterized by strength and by peace. Psalm 147, verses 12 to 14. Now, kingdom law is going to emanate from here. So that's going to be the structured government and the center of the structure, the new structured government. And we see that in Psalm 147, verse 15. Now, Jerusalem is going to be characterized by holiness, justice, and righteousness. Isaiah 1, verses 26 to 27. Now, due to God's refining fire, He's going to purge all sins from Jerusalem. It's going to enable the Shekinah glory to dwell over the entire mountain of Zion. That's from Isaiah 4, verses 3 to 6. Now, the afflicted people, those are the Jews, are finally going to find security there. It's Isaiah 14, verse 32. Holiness and freedom, which are going to come about, are going to demonstrate that the times of the Gentiles are forever over. And you remember, way, way back, we talked about the times of the Gentiles that the Lord Jesus gave us, and that is the time that Gentile world powers have trampled over Jerusalem. Now, good news is going to be declared from Jerusalem, which refers to the Jews regathering, God's reconstruction of the city, and that salvation will characterize it. So that's from Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 10. And Jerusalem is going to become the center of worldwide Gentile attention. The Gentile nations who are going to be serving up the Jews, or serving the Jews, excuse me, are also going to be used in the building of Millennial Jerusalem. The 12 gates will be continually open. The Gentiles and their kings are going to bring tribute through these gates. And if they do not do that, there's going to be swift judgment. Now, the Gentiles will bow in submission to their authority. I'm going to read from Isaiah 60, these five verses here, 10 to 14, where the Lord says, "And foreigners shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Thy gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations and their kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall even come up unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Jehovah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." My goodness. Now, there's a lot of information in the Bible about the servitude of the Gentiles to the Jews during the great during the millennial kingdom, and one of those passages is Isaiah 62 verses 1 to 12. You may want to pick that up on your own and read that. Now, just remember, now there's going to be a brightness caused by the righteousness of God there, and that the speed of light is going to accelerate to 7 times the normal speed. Now, right now it's 186 miles a second. We read this extremely sevenfold increase in speed from Isaiah 30, verse 26. Now, to make sure that all the promises are going to come to pass, God is going to install angelic messengers upon the walls of Jerusalem, whose entire ministry is going to be to remind God of his promises to make Jerusalem the joy and praise of the whole earth. The people who live there are promised that their enemies will never again take the fruits of their labor away. The declaration is made that the redemption and salvation of Jerusalem is assured because God is one who keeps his promises. You know, Jeremiah also described millennial Jerusalem as a center of Gentile attention. I'm going to read you just one verse in Jeremiah in his third chapter, 17th verse. The text says, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Jehovah, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. In the name of Jehovah to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart." Now, he also described the increase in size and how indestructible it's going to be. Look what he says in Jeremiah 31, verses 38 to 40. "Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that the city shall be built to Jehovah from the tower of Hanal unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go up further straight onward unto the hill Gareb, and shall turn about unto Goa, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate towards the east, shall be holy unto Jehovah. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever." You know, some passages state that there will be no need for walls, such as Zechariah 2, verse 4. And then others state that the walls are going to be erected, nevertheless, due to the Shekinah glory in the form of fire will surround the city. So while there won't be a need for walls, there will be walls erected to state and show this Shekinah glory fire. Look what Zechariah 2, verses 1 to 5 says. And I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither thou goest? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what the breadth thereof is, and what the length thereof is. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls, by reason of the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith Jehovah, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. You know, it's interesting that God gave Zechariah a lot to say about millennial Jerusalem, and he assured Zechariah that he had every intent of choosing Jerusalem in spite of the desolations afflicted during the times of the Gentiles, which, of course, ended with the second coming. I'm going to read from you Zechariah 1, verses 14 to 17. So the angel that talked with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased that they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith Jehovah of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth over Jerusalem. Cry yet again, saying, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, my cities shall yet overflow with prosperity, and Jehovah shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Now, there are plenty of graphic depictions of Jerusalem. You know, God has a special jealousy for Jerusalem. That's going to cause him to return and dwell in the midst of the city. It's going to become the city of truth upon the mountain of Jehovah's house, and it's going to be inhabited by the very young to the very old. The young will be born to those with natural bodies during the millennial kingdom, and the very old will be hundreds of years old by the time the millennium comes to an end. Jews regathered from all over the world are going to live there. And, you know, the fact that it will be the center of Gentile attention is affirmed in Zechariah chapter 8, where verse 20 to 22 say, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of Jehovah, and to seek Jehovah of hosts. I will go also, yet many peoples and strong nations shall come and seek Jehovah of hosts in Jerusalem, and to entreat the favor of Jehovah. Now, Messiah is going to be king in the city, and the geography of the land is going to be so greatly altered that Jerusalem can be enlarged and exalted on the mountain of Jehovah's house, and then it's going to become the city of peace and total security. Now, finally, the holiness that will characterize Jerusalem will even be seen through the dedication of horse bridle adornments, as well as cooking and sacrificing kitchen pots. My goodness. Look what Zechariah 14, verse 20 and 21 say. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horse holy unto Jehovah, and the pots in Jehovah's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holy unto Jehovah of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil therein, and in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of Jehovah of hosts. Truly, Jerusalem's best and greatest days are yet to come. I want to spend some time with you today talking about the Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. And we're going to look at some text in the Old Testament, actually. And I just want you to see that the Gentiles, the saved Gentiles, are going to have a strong role, and we're going to have this in organizational chart theory, a dotted line relationship to the Jews, working for them but reporting to the Lord Jesus. So, God has a special role for us, Gentiles, in the millennial kingdom. And we're going to touch on those roles, including mandatory attendance at the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as what God's going to do with the Arab nations. And he lays this out very specifically. And it must be noted that members of the ecclesia that we know today as the church will be in a role that is more focused on serving Christ directly and participating in the millennial government. The Gentiles in this section are more specifically those who made it through the Great Tribulation and the Christ's judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. He termed them sheep due to their behavior as believers because they helped the Jews during the seven-year war. They became believers during the tribulation, and they entered the millennial kingdom with natural bodies. Now, I've got five characteristics that I want to highlight here. And one, the Gentiles are going to respond to the fact that Messiah will be the center of attention. It's from Isaiah 11:10. And they will be possessed and be the servants of the people of Israel. They're going to be possessed by and servants to people of Israel. Isaiah 12, verses 1 to 2. Now, the Messiah, number 3, is going to be a special light to the Gentiles, a special love he will have for them. Isaiah 49, verses 5 to 7, and Isaiah 56, verses 1 to 8. Now, sheep Gentiles are going to be sensing some exclusion of the kingdom activities due to the exalted role of the Jews. Isaiah 56, verses 1 to 3. But God is going to assure them that his role for them includes them in the temple worship, and he loves them. Isaiah 56, verses 4 to 5, and 66, verses 18 to 28. The Shekinah glory will exude or give off a special manifestation with, if not seen by the Gentiles, it's going to be seen by those that will travel to the ones that have declared themselves to be part of his program. So the Gentiles are going to lead Jews back to the land. God's going to choose them, the Jews, to be priests in the temple. And they're going to realize this desire to include them in the kingdom. Those who are faithful will enter the eternal order. And those who are unfaithful are going to die. With their souls, they're going to be visibly tormented throughout the 1,000-year kingdom. Now, Zechariah 14, verses 16 to 19 says, the Gentiles are going to have an obligation to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Here's what the text says. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso of all the families of the earth goeth not up unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, neither shall it be upon them. There shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's going to be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that go not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. So the Feast of the Tabernacles is going to be mandatory. It's going to be mandatory attendance for all the Gentiles in the entire world. All Gentile nations during the Millennial Kingdom are going to be required to keep this feast. Probably going to be the time that they're going to provide this mandatory tribute to the King. Isaiah 60:11 says that. And even though it's going to be an obligation, some of the Gentile nations are not going to comply. My goodness, the resulting judgment is going to be for the Lord to withhold rain from that nation for a period of 12 months. And text uses that nation, Egypt, as an example to illustrate the judgment. And if we remember about the Feast of the Tabernacles, it was inaugurated as a celebration of the Jews' deliverance from the bondage of the Egyptians. However, all Gentile nations are going to have this requirement. Egypt is just used here as an example. I want to talk for a few minutes about the Arab states. You know, the scriptures are quite clear that the Arab states have had a perpetual hatred of the Jews, and this hatred came through Ishmael and Esau, and it began to be manifested in Numbers 20, verses 14 to 21. I'm going to read that text for you. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, and saith, Thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians dealt ill with us and our fathers, and when we cried unto Jehovah, he heard our voice, and he sent an angel and brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Now let us pass, I pray thee, through thy land. We're not going to pass through field or through vineyard, and neither are we going to drink the water of the wells. We're going to go along the king's highway, and we're not going to turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed thy border. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass through me, lest I come out with the sword against thee. And the children of Israel saith unto him, We will go up by the highway, and if we drink of thy water, I and my cattle, then will I give you the price of that. Let me only, without doing anything else, pass through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not pass through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Now, this hatred goes all the way back to Genesis. Now, Edom is another name for Esau. It means red in the Bible, and even in modern Hebrew. If you said a red apple or a red something or other, you use that term, Edom. And their feelings against the Jews due to this chosen position with God has caused a lot of a lot of hatred and discontinuity between the two groups. Now, this has continued into modern history, and especially since 1948 when the United Nations gave Israel statehood. One passage in Scripture that summarizes the entire attitude of the Arab states is Psalm 83:8, say, O God, keep not thou silence, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Thy take crafty counsel against thy people, and consult together against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut off them from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance, for they have not consulted together with one consent. Against thee do they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Now it's interestingly that the writer of the psalm starts out describing a united conspiracy of nations against Israel. These crafty people unite forces against the Jews. They aim to totally annihilate Israel is what they're doing. They want nobody to remember the name of Israel. Gamal Nasser, the former dictator of Egypt, repeated this verse almost verbatim during the Six-Day War in 1967. My goodness. You know, the nations are listed by their ancient biblical names. And I'm going to tell you what those are. The Bible says Edom, which is the descendants from Esau, which is southern Jordan. Now, the Ishmaelites are the descendants from Ishmael, Abraham's first son, with Hagar, the Egyptian, handmaid of Sarah. He was one of the fathers of all the Arabs. Moab from central Jordan. The Hagarenes is Egypt. Gebal is Lebanon. Ammon is northern Jordan. Amalek from the Sinai Peninsula. Philistia, the Gaza Strip. Tyre is Lebanon. And Assyria is Iraq and parts of Syria. Now, in 1948, after the UN voted to give Israel statehood, five Arab armies, Egypt, Syria, Transjordan, Lebanon, and Iraq, immediately invaded Israel. The stated purpose of this invasion was to push the Jews into the sea. Genocide. Now, Hassan Pasha, who was Secretary General of the Arab League, declared their intentions. He made this a public declaration in 1948. This will be a war of extermination and a momentous massacre, which will be spoken of like the Mongolian massacres of the Crusades. What Hitler didn't finish 3 years earlier, the Arabs would finish once and for all. Now, there was a Nazi collaborator, Haj Amin al-Husseini, who led the Arabs in the former British Mandate of Palestine. That was the British control of it from the First World War until 1948. Now, he was charged at the Nuremberg trials, but he escaped in 1946. Al-Husseini actively supported Hitler's aim to exterminate the Jews in World War II. Now, Czechoslovakia was the only country that was willing to provide the Jews with weapons for their War of Independence in 1948. He wanted them to survive. God wanted them to survive. Now, beloved, I'm going to close here for today, and we're going to pick this up in our next session, talking more about this 1948 and 1967 and 1973 conflicts and the conflicts that have been ongoing since then. The Jews are back in the land. God placed them back in the land. He's in preparing them for this massive judgment during the Great Tribulation. But after that, it's the millennial kingdom that will be ruling in this world, the entire government with Jesus on the throne. And this millennial kingdom will find peace and prosperity like this world has never seen since the Garden of Eden. Boy, I'm looking forward to it. I can tell you that. I'm so anxious to see God on the throne running the world government. Aren't you? Don't you think that would be absolutely wonderful? God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening, and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan, 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan, 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.